Welcome. You found us again. We're here, Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You are listening to Live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, a couple of updates on some changes in D.C. that could affect your wallet. This isn't fun, sexy stuff, but it affects your money, so I know you want to hear about it. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Had a nice little spate of new downloads over the weekend. I like to see the popularity growing there. But the old-fashioned way, the phone, still my preferred method because we get the follow-up question, Gregory, and that's the one advantage. If you want to send a text or an email or a Facebook message, that's fine and good, and we don't discourage that. But the follow-up questions have been key, especially on the more complicated issues. Gregory?
Yes, I'm here.
Just a quick little news update here. One of our restaurants of note, we've talked about on the show before, Walk-Ons. Did you see this? They're going to be the title sponsor of the Independence Bowl. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Well, you know, this new infusion of cash from Drew Brees is changing everything. We're talking about a restaurant that, until a couple months ago, only had, I think, two locations. So now they're big enough that they're opening more locations around, including my tiny little hometown of Tyler, strangely enough. They have 15 locations now, Gregory. It passed me up. I thought they had six. They're expected by the end of 2018 to have 100 franchises either opened or in the works. That's happening quickly. And they're the sponsor for the Independence Bowl, that one college football bowl that they have up in Shreveport. Just a company that you barely even heard about 5 years ago is now a nationwide, I don't want to say powerhouse, but they're a national brand. That was quick. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, they look to be all across Louisiana and over into Texas and expanding across both states as well. So it is focused. Let's see, what is this one here? Yeah, it's focused. It's Louisiana and Texas company.
Yeah, well, where does Drew Brees, where is he employed, or where has he been employed for the last 15 years, 13 years?
Dallas?
Well, yeah, Louisiana. Where's he from? Where'd he go to high school? Austin. So.
And where'd he go to college?
Purdue.
Okay.
I think that's up in Indiana. I'm not even that sure, to be honest.
It is?
Okay, I just...
Where did they first start playing pro football?
Oh, San Diego Chargers. Okay. Back when San Diego had an NFL team. You remember way back in the day? We can do one of these little flashbacks. Hey, remember back when San Diego had a football team?
Just kidding. He's kind of all over the place, as it turns out.
But look, this is something that I think goes great with some of the conversations we've been having about the tax reform. Because how does these two guys that went to LSU, if you don't know the backstory of Walk-Ons, these two guys that were walk-ons to the LSU basketball team, they went to business school there, and they came up with their little final thesis, a business plan for a restaurant, and they said, you know, why don't we just open this thing? We got a good grade. So they opened it. They have one little patent, a table tap, that kind of sets them apart. But this big infusion of money that happened from Drew Brees, where these guys' dreams go from one or two locations to what's going to be 100 in 3 years down the road. How does that happen? Somebody, whether it's an individual or an evil corporation, has to accumulate such gigantic sums of wealth that has to remain in their control. It can't be confiscated by Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. It can't be, you know, filtered away to any of these social programs. They have to hold on to it. They have to be able to accumulate gigantic, unequal to the rest of us, sums of wealth. So the people that don't have anything, How do they make it? What's another way they can get up? What's another way to solve that wealth inequality? Well, the guy with some wealth finds a guy without a lot of wealth that has a great idea. They trade, and boom, they're both more wealthy. Just dreams come true because people accumulate wealth. It's not a bad thing. You must not be as fussy about this because I don't think you spend as much time going through Facebook and Twitter as I do.
I do not.
Ooh, boy, it is amazing that just the misinformation on economics and financial issues that you're confronted with every day. It's, I don't want to say it's exhausting because it doesn't really wear me out. I'm just reading stuff. But it just seems so obvious to me. And I come in here and you're backing me up. So I just feel like we need to get that message out. Stop going after people for being rich. They can be very useful if you have a good idea. If you have a severe disdain for rich people and find them never useful in any situation whatsoever, you know what that means? It means you don't have any good ideas. Am I being too hard on them, Gregory?
No. I'm just still looking at Walk-Ons. And, yeah, Drew Brees is a co-owner of the company, co-owner and partner, founder and co-owner and CEO is Brandon Landry. So there you go.
Pretty cool stuff, though. It's a beautiful example of something that should be in a business textbook. This is how it happens. Some guy with a good idea finds some guy with a lot of money. Boom. Now, some people don't like that because Drew Brees, who's already a multi tens of millionaire, is going to make even more money. Well, that's just more not fair. Why not? Everybody's benefiting. It's not the greatest restaurant in the world, but it's pretty good. I like the table taps. They got a good little bit going there. So I did see one new update here on the tax reform bill. And if you want to hear our full rundown, just go listen to the first hour of the podcast on Saturday's show. And we just broke down bullet point by bullet point. But one of the things we pointed out is that the AMT survived somehow. It was slated to be repealed in the House version of the tax reform, but it lived on through the Senate version. And a couple of the senators who voted in favor of it came out today, and they're like, I wish that AMT wasn't in there. Because they were talking about things that are being debated in conference committee. Well, I wish I would have done something about that before the middle of the night on Friday night.
Well, it obviously is on the corporate side as well and kind of affecting the market, the tax yesterday and overall market today. And once again, I don't understand why AMT is in there. That's kind of, well, you're not paying enough taxes, so let's run an AMT to make sure you're paying enough. We'll just run the rules as the rules go back to. Why, now you've got, we don't like it number, so we're going to run it this way.
I don't know, but I suspect that they had to leave that in there for mathematic purposes so they could pass it using the reconciliation rules, and they could do it with 51 votes or 50 votes instead of the 60 votes. That's what I suspect. Just the same reason the individual tax rate expires in 2026. It's not that they think that will be good for the country or that won't hurt us economically or they want to raise taxes on middle-class people. It's that's what they have to do to get it passed. If they don't come up with this squeamish little math number, nothing gets passed. So that's my guess on the AMT, but I don't know. That's my guess.
Another concern here regarding the tax bills is when you do Roth conversions, and that's where you take an IRA, money in your IRA, and convert some portion, anywhere from a portion to all of it, over to a Roth. And it is a taxable event in the year in which you do the conversion. Now, one of the things we've had, so you've got to do it during the calendar year, during the tax year, do the Roth conversion. And here's one of my warnings to people, because we'll have discussions about it, and I'll tell them, it's going to come with a tax bill. And I've already gotten to know them some and kind of know how they're going to react, and I'll warn them, look, this is approximate. This looks like this is going to be the number, whatever the tax bill is. You kind of know their tax bracket because we know their income. So if we convert this, that may step them up into another tax bracket, but you have a handle on what that number is going to be. And, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. No, I recommend you do not convert that much. No, this is what we want to do. Okay.
Did somebody try and out-Roth you a little bit? That's rare.
I don't know what you're referring to on out-Roth me, but it's their money. Mm-hmm. And it's their tax bill. They own that. I'm just knowing what commonly happens is, what? When they see the tax return. Like, what is all that about? And, you know, that's coming typically around tax time. Let's say, yeah, this conversation's happening in April. So if you've done a Roth conversion over the past however many years, you've been able to undo it. If you don't like the outcome, you get an oh no, not that, and that can allow you to undo it, and that's called recharacterization. And actually, you have up till October 15th of each year, depending on what that actual tax day is, depending on where the 15th falls, to actually recharacterize before that final tax return is done. And so that gives people time to, like, you know, you say, well, yeah, you can Roth it, and knowing that you can undo it. You know, we need that, like, what's that sound effect like Fox Business does? News alert. Brum, 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 brum. Yeah, that's it. In both the bills, the House bill and the Senate bill, there is no recharacterization beyond December 31st. Yeah, it deserves a double one.
Actually, that sounds a little more dire. No, maybe not that. No, here it is. It'll be this one. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. So what that means is, if you have done a Roth conversion and there might be some chance you want to recharacterize, don't like what that tax bill is going to do, you need to do it before December 31st. Recharacterize that money.
All right, we're going to have a few more things you need to do for the end of the year. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
So I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
What better way to get into the holiday spirit than by watching those great Christmas TV specials? Join JPAS for an all-new stage production that pays tribute to great performers like Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Judy Garland, and others. Don't miss Butch Cares Holly Jolly, family-friendly vintage TV Christmas special with special guest star Becky Allen. Playing in West Wego December 1st through 10th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. I don't want it to become forgotten money. My guidance would be is, if you're going to take and roll that over and you're going to correlate it to risk, I think you should work with somebody loss adverse, meaning that they would rather get you to cash than writing down losses.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We were talking about funeral planning. Who's it going to follow? Probably your children or your best friend of life, your spouse. And they're just not going to be in an emotional state to do that. And what we help with is what's called a funeral trust. It is something where you can put some money aside there, and then this firm, they are guided through there to make sure everything's paid properly, you're not taken advantage of. The funeral trust can also be used in several different ways. You know, that troubled son, he's always needing a little bit more help than the others. This funeral trust could also have a little bit different purpose, to where maybe he gets a little bit more money on the side and nobody has to know.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. Welcome back. A little bit of you right now. Got my wheels pulling off that. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. If you have a financial situation, unsure what to do, maybe we can provide a little bit of help. You can dial us up, 504. The phone number is going to be 504-260-0995. You can email us, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. You can go to the website, GregoryRicks.com. One of the great ways to reach us, besides the phone, because we love the phones, is to download the Winning at Life app. You can do a search for Winning at Life. If it doesn't pull it up, App Store is a little slow. We should have that corrected in the next day or two, they said. Just do the search for Gregory Ricks, and you'll be able to download that app with a search. And you can text the show through that. You can call the show. There's a great deal of information there. I think you'll find it very helpful. Yeah, you know, one of the big questions that's been going on lately is that old cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. You know, one of the things, and we've got a caller right there, John. We see you there. We're not going to take you quite yet. I want to tell you something before you come on the air and can speak. How's that? Along with all the other crypto people, because we can call them crypto people that are fans of it.
Of the Bitcoin mania.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, wait. It's Bitcoin mania.
Yeah, that's the new title of it. Let's see. Where's my paper? I was just all over this about it. As a gift, the surge.
You have like there it is. Five Bitcoin articles.
Oh, yeah. It's like ridiculous. Now it's... You know, you used to couldn't find anything on it. Nobody was interested in it, and it was only worth a few hundred dollars. And now it's, like, everywhere.
Well, it looks like you're studied up. What are you telling us, Professor?
I am on top of it. There's a greater than 80% chance that Bitcoin will soon crash. Researchers define a bubble as a sharp price run-up over a two-year period, followed by at least a 40% drop over the subsequent 2 years. When this price run-up is 100% or more, they found the probability of a crash becomes 50%. When focusing on the price run-ups of at least 150%, the probability becomes 80%. As the price run-ups become even bigger, a crash becomes nearly certain. To put those thresholds in context, consider that Bitcoin's run-up over the last 2 years is nearly 2,500%. That's more than 10 times greater the threshold researchers found was associated with a near certain subsequent crash. Nevertheless, there's high confidence that their conclusions apply to Bitcoin, too, since they analyzed nearly a century's worth of historical data, both in the U.S. and foreign stock markets as well, and found broadly similar conclusions regardless of the time period or the country. So there you go. So, John, from St. Rose, welcome to Winning at Life.
How can we help you, John?
Gregory and James, how y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Pretty good.
Okay, well, you know, I even heard about this on Fox Business in the morning. They was talking a little bit about it, and one guy which would almost swear about it, and everybody else was, like, avoiding it. And I just did a little bit of reading on it, and I read that you can do a Roth IRA in Bitcoin. Are you familiar with that?
We've not done that, and we lost John there, but I personally wouldn't do it. I wouldn't touch it when I've got documentation of there's 80% chance of it crashing of 40% or more, and it's obviously certain based upon the numbers, but it's way too volatile. My clients don't like that type of volatility. So yeah, it's something you would have to do through a self-directed IRA. I've not seen where you could go to Fidelity, E-Trade, or any other of the firms. I've not heard anything about them doing cryptocurrencies.
They may have some ETFs. Winklevoss twins may be the first crypto billionaires. I saw that headline. I didn't go through and read the whole story. But the other 20%.
Well, one thing's good on paper, but once again, the problem is the selling of it. Maybe there is enough buyers with the mania going on with it. The Bitcoin mania is probably, everybody's wanting in. And that's one of the things where people, you know, fear missing out, driving rush to millennial goals. So this mania, reason it's mania now, it is the rush to get in on it. Jokingly told, let's see, I've got a quote here, basic question. Jokingly told me that his biggest gripe with me in 2016 and 2017 was that I didn't buy him any Bitcoin. I told him, not so jokingly, if I bought him Bitcoin, he'd be right to fire me. And who is this? It's a Market Watch article, so I'm not seeing where it says here. And it shows a smoking, melting Bitcoin in the picture, and it says, "This is your brain on Bitcoin."
Now I know a lot of people who are dabbling in Bitcoin, and they will tell me, Parker, I can't tell you I'm 100% sure this is going to go well for me. You know, I've just made this part of my diversified attempts to score out here. But there are some people who are true believers, and I just can't understand that. You're not basing this on anything. You have no history of cryptocurrencies to compare it to.
It's impossible to value. What is it worth? It has no cash flow. It's a cryptocurrency. Is it worth $2,200? Is it worth $200? Is it worth $2? Or is it worth $11,860? It's somewhere in that ballpark. Today was the where we're seeing the last number on it was $11,842.10. So, you know, with it jumping around, and of course, the outcome makes it look great that, yeah, we should have got some for clients. I just don't know if we could have from a suitability standpoint. How do you address that and create it as suitable. But in retrospect, you could say, well, yeah, you'd have made them a lot of money. Yeah, that's if it went this way. But what is our real fear?
What's behind door number two?
Yeah, and that's the problem is it when it starts to going down, everybody's like, oh, I need to protect my value. Well, one reason it's going down is there's not buyers at that price on the other side, and you've got to have a buyer on the other side. Why does the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ do well? For most of their securities, there's buyers on the other side, and that's what you need for a market to work. If somebody's selling, we're bringing buyers in. And if there's buyers, there's somebody selling.
So how is that different? You know how we talk about it doesn't have an intrinsic value like a stock. How would we explain to a financial novice what that intrinsic value is? Like if you own a piece of a company and this company breaks up, you're going to get some of the dividends from that?
Well, you're buying stock because you're buying stock into that company. It has a brand, a reputation. It has assets. It has market share. It has cash flow. A lot of things that you can quantify there. Does that mean you're going to make money by being in that stock? No, it does not mean it's going to go well for you. But you take that information and make a decision, and your confidence is either really high or very low in it succeeding. Typically, on the high side, you'll want to take a position in the stock. If you're very low on it, it might be an option you get to put that stock to somebody else.
You know, this sounds so much like your dissertation on the flaws of spending too much money in gold. Don't you feel that overlap?
What's the dividend in gold?
It's almost the same argument, right?
It really is. The difference in gold is...
There's gold.
There is a lot of gold out there and available.
And you can touch it.
And that's why if it was really scarce, and look, it's not easy to get, but there's a lot of it above the ground. We talked about that the other day. And that's one reason it's available to be bought and sold. This cryptocurrency, the Bitcoin, which is causing Bitcoin mania, there's not a lot of availability. The shortage of supply is creating this run-up.
Yeah, and thanks for your call, John, in St. Rose. We were wanting to talk about that anyway. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995. I am James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
If I start adding new cards and dropping old cards, then I'm going to mess up my credit. What do you think?
If you cancel any credit cards that you currently have, you will lose. Let's say you had one for 10 years, 15 years. The second you cancel that card, you are going to lose all that history. We'll destroy your credit.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Tracy from Dwell Nola Realty.
It's good to learn the mistakes you can make because a lot of people start off investing and they fail at their first investment and then they get discouraged and then they don't want to continue. And it doesn't have to be that way.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Steve Rappaport. Washington warning Americans abroad of possible violence when President Trump is expected to say he recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and will move our embassy there. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert.
We will always keep the safety and security of Americans paramount. We often put out these kinds of messages to U.S. citizens all around the world.
The president is expected to make that announcement tomorrow. House and Senate lawmakers working to craft a final version of the tax reform bill.
Most House Republicans say they want to get rid of that Obamacare individual mandate as part of tax reform, but they wanted to see if senators could get it done first. Now that they have, they are fired up to finish up. Key Democrats continue attacking the tax reform plan, saying it wouldn't help average Americans.
Fox's Mike Emanuel on Capitol Hill. The president wants the bill done by Christmas. Fox News. We report. You decide.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
And I don't know why it all takes me downtown. Like you got anywhere better to be. Truck it up and give me the go round like a good time tease. I'm only counting on your cancellation when I should be counting.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. We do this every evening on these stations. 7 o'clock. You can find us Saturdays at 10 for the weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We're going to continue the Bitcoin discussion here because I've got another news alert. Where's my news alert? News alert?
The news alert comes after you read the headline for dramatic impact.
Bitcoin again. U.S. Magistrate Judge, Jacqueline Scott Cooley for U.S. District Court in San Francisco ruled Wednesday that the exchange must supply the tax agency. See, the IRS has sued Bitcoin exchange Coinbase regarding access to all trading records. So they were ruled that the exchange must supply the tax agency with the identities of all users in the U.S. who conducted at least one transaction equivalent to at least $20,000 between 2012 and 2015. Corley said a reporting gap gave the IRS legitimate reason to demand the information.
Yeah, you said it all right there, the reporting gap. This isn't for public safety. This isn't for economic stability. This serves no public purpose. This is what?
Collecting taxes.
Yeah. Where's my piece?
Yeah. That only 800 to 900 taxpayers reported gains related to Bitcoin in each of the relevant years, and that more than 14,000 Coinbase users have either bought, sold, sent, or received at least $20,000 worth of Bitcoin in a given year suggests that many Coinbase users may not be reporting their gains.
What? Now here we go with this one again. Oh, no, you don't say, Gregory.
The IRS has a legitimate interest in investigating these taxpayers. So, you know, I talked to you earlier about Roth recharacterization. That's undoing a Roth conversion. And I would suggest you, if you're going to undo it, you do it by December 31st, because in both House and the Senate bills, it doesn't allow you to do it past December 31st. Now, Bitcoin's not in the bills, but what I'm telling you here is if you've done transactions in the past, they're going to be sending you a letter down the road. And if you're like bought one for $5 years ago, and now you've got $60,000 and you've cashed it, hey, you may want to talk to your CPA, but I'm telling you, you might want to go have that discussion and go ahead and own up to this instead of getting a letter 3 years from now. Because, you know, when you think about it, consider this. They were looking at Bitcoin, which had gone from about nothing to $1,100 by 2015. If they're looking in the transactions back then, because Bitcoin had risen so high and fast that they know people are making a ton of tax-free money, how mad are they, or how are they salivating about hunting down people with Bitcoin at $11,000?
Well, that's easy, man.
Coin.
They're exactly 10 times the amount of salivating or anger, whichever metaphor you want to roll with here.
And I think they will be filing suit again. So this is just kind of that warning. Look, this happened last week, and we mentioned it but didn't go into this detail with you on the show, is I'd be kind of, when it's tax time, I'd say, hey, by the way, CPA,
mm-hmm.
I made me $59,850 on this Bitcoin. You know, whatever.
Well, just fess up, because you're playing a game
taxes.
Here. You're just hoping that they're going to let you fall through the cracks. IRS isn't too good about that. IRS, they run things. They don't even have people checking this out. I'm convinced they run this all through some sort of computer algorithm, and then they send out automatically generated letters, because the ones that they just sent me last week were so flawed, Jude almost laughed at the first one.
Well, here is the thing. They're getting it from CoinDesk, and then they're going to feed that into a computer, and that computer then is going to kick out notices, and it's going to be a max tax bill with penalties and all kind of stuff for you not having done it in that year. It isn't that they're going to sue and say, okay, going forward, we're going to tax you.
Right.
No, they're going back into the history of it. And what years did we say, from 2012 to 2015?
15.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be going to 2016 and 2017 now, and 2018 and going forward. They're going to get their money one way or another. So it's acting more like a currency.
Now it is.
Well, it's still acting as an investment, but oh, somebody's making it. Now, if you're losing your heinies on it, they probably wouldn't recognize it. Like, that's not something you can deduct. But since there's lots of profits, it can go both ways. And hey, if you're buying it at 11,000, you know, this 80% chance of a crash may help you with some write-offs.
Oh, yeah. There you go. You can harvest some losses. Gregory, the thing is, it's not anything. So what are you taxing? You're taxing nothing. You know, even in most...
You are taxing something. They bought it for one price and sold it for a higher.
But they're pretending. Like, if I sold you a pretend, you know, spare tire for your car and money changed...
It's not pretend money. You cashed it. And that's what the coin... That's... What was it I phrase I used the other day? You know, that... It is the point where it all comes together. It's where you have that cryptocurrency and you're wanting to convert it back to dollars. And that's where it happens at. Now, you making the money and turning it into a toaster, I'm sure they'd like to tax you on spending that gain on that as well. But the conversion back to dollars, that's where we're getting to on this. And that's where when you kind of say, well, it's nothing. No, but it becomes something. If you put in $5 and you get back $2,000, that's a gain. Or however they've grown, made $20,000 and that they were seeking. But I think they're going to open that. Well, heck, that's going to be easy. They don't have to go above 20, but they could lower that request and gather it in even more. But I think they were kind of being kind and testing then. And yeah, they got some of them. Well, they're going to get a lot more this time around.
If it loses its anonymity, though, that's half the reason people are going to Bitcoin for the currency uses, not for the bubble uses, not for the run up, the mania factor. But the anonymity is one of the things that gives it value. You know, the ability to transfer values from one good to another good, a store of value, I should say. But if CoinDesk has to give up the names,
that's where the choke point.
Yes,
where something's got to happen. And that's where
when it converts the dollars, yeah,
coin to dollars, right there, and that's where the IRS gets it, right there. The other's harder to figure out, but that's not.
But look, if the anonymity goes away, that doesn't mean people are going to stop using cryptocurrency. They're just going to go to the next one that does have anonymity. And cryptos aren't going to go away, but Bitcoin will be like MySpace, and some other virtual currency will rise up, and it will be like Facebook. Maybe this will be like Blockbuster, and the next cryptocurrency that gets it right and can get around all these goofy machinations of the IRS will be the one that wins out.
Okay, if you're using it for money laundering, just throwing something out here.
Sure.
Sometimes I don't understand the money.
Hey, maybe I've been running guns from Mexico. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. So if you're trying to clean your money and get it back in system, and you take and put it into a cryptocurrency, is it being tracked when they're bought in? Because if you like take a stack of $100 bills worth $20,000 and go to the bank, put it in your account. Yeah, it's a big red flag. Is that going into cryptocurrency? Is there anything like that? It's just an out loud question. Because when you take it out, that choke point, yeah, they're getting that number coming out. And you're going to pay taxes on it. Boom, it's in the system. But I bet you they're showing transactions on both sides now. Because that's one of the things they dislike about it also is laundering of money.
But once you get it in Bitcoin, if you can just keep it in Bitcoin and never have it come out, well, I'm talking fantasy land here, aren't I?
Yeah, you're actually talking that, it'll be treated as a currency one day and your money can be safe to stay near about the same value at all times. And we're nowhere near that anytime soon.
But this is a monetary arms race here, and we're watching history be made in front of our face. It's pretty fun stuff. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. We got the numbers next.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
What better way to get into the holiday spirit than by watching those great Christmas TV specials? Join JPAS for an all-new stage production that pays tribute to great performers like Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Judy Garland, and others. Don't miss Butch Cares Holly Jolly, family-friendly vintage TV Christmas special with special guest star Becky Allen. Playing in West Wego December 1st through 10th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
One thing you definitely should do is accelerate your payments. It makes a big difference by just making an extra 2 payments a year, because that's one thing we'd like to retire is that mortgage when they retire. Boom, you've added cushion.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
If I tie up all my money into an annuity now, I'm just not sure I feel comfortable with that.
I wouldn't be comfortable having you do that either. If you're using an indexed annuity, there is a time commitment for that money, so there is a surrender fee. But
right.
By no means should all your money go into that particular product. And then you've got to have income planning, emergency cash, and liquidity. And I hate it when I see somebody come in putting all their money into some variable annuities. There is no way I would allow that or do that. That's just exactly what you're referring to as tying up your money in all one financial tool. And we just would not do that or allow
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
This is the Daily Wrap. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. This is live financial talk radio. Come on. You got a few minutes left. Call us. I know you've got that question. You need that little bit of help. Or you're worried about your bitcoins and what to do with them. 504-260-0995. Hey, here, I've got a few words for you. It's often said that the four most dangerous words in investing are, can you guess what it is, James? This time is different.
Is that a headline?
That's what the Bitcoin investors are saying, but it's kind of when it's like the, no, this time it's different. This is going to work. It's this time is different.
Has there ever been a run up in an asset or some other thing like this and it didn't pop? Have you ever seen that exponential curve up 100% in 2 years, or another 150% in 3 years?
We've had a pretty good run on the stock market, and we know that day will come. It always does. That it pulls back doesn't mean it'll end. It doesn't mean that it will be the end of Bitcoin, but it also could create enough fear and harm that it does end itself. Once again, it was set up as a currency, and it is nothing like a currency. It is Bitcoin mania, and where do we get that from? Tulip mania. It certainly looks like tulip mania.
Or Hulkamania. They're similar. Matthew Slidell, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Matthew?
Yeah, I had a question. What if you mine the Bitcoin yourself and the only money you spent was your electric bill just to use your computer to mine it? Or is the IRS going to go after those people too?
Are you aware of the complications in mining Bitcoin? Equipment and software it takes? It's quite complicated.
I suppose not. I mean,
most people that have gotten into the mining end that thinking they're going to make a bunch of money this way end up spending more than they get out of it.
Yeah, our computers couldn't even begin to do it. We don't even have a wide enough bus. In fact, you'd kind of be surprised at how bad your actual computer is at math just because it can't handle that many digits. So there's mathematical problems I can give you, Matthew, that your computer can't do because the shortcomings on the digits. So whenever you get into something super complicated like that, yeah, you're going to need a $50,000 server just to get started. However, if you want to – I like the hypothetical, though. My guess would be, even if you mine it, Gregory's got it down. The choke point is when you convert it to dollars. And even if you convert them overseas, you still got to repatriate those dollars. If you're going to put it in your Chase account or if you're going to go spend it at Rouse's, it's got to somehow be in the form of commerce that we use daily. And that's where they'll catch you. Or that's what it looks like they're planning on catching you.
Yeah, because during the break, James started running off all kind of overseas scenarios. Well, what if we do that? What if that? What if this?
If CoinDesk shuts down, we reopen it in the Caymans, right?
Yeah, whenever you want it to get back to dollars, they get you.
That makes sense, Matthew?
There's a form for that you're supposed to file with your tax return that you brought the money back over.
All right, thank you very much for your call. Gregory, it's that time of year again.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And forget that Christmas stuff. You know, Jesus' birthday, that's a pretty big deal. But RMDs, people, RMDs, something we can't fix if you don't get it done this month.
Required minimum distributions.
Go through the real simple part on when you know when you have to start it and when your first payment's due, and just for the people that are walking into this, because this is super simple.
Yeah, super simple. It's when you turn 70 and a half, you have to start taking required minimum distributions in the year in which you turn 70 and a half. So you're saying, okay, I turn 70 in May. Okay, you will be 70 and a half in that year, which means you have to take an RMD. Well, somebody else just nudged me and said, well, I'm turning 70 and a half in August. Well, you're turning 70 in August is what they said. They're turning 70 and a half in the next year, in which they're age 71. So whenever you turn 70 and a half, you have actually up till April 1st of the year following the year in which you turn 70 and a half to take your first required minimum distribution. Let me simplify it even further. So if you turn 70 and a half in the same year that you're age 70, you use the age 70 divisor. But for those people that fall 70 and a half in the following year of their 70th birthday, they have to use the next divisor for the age 71, because you turn 71 after you've become 70 and a half. That happens in the same year. So you have to use the next divisor. You skip the first one, move up to one that's going to make you pull out more money. Now, since you've gathered all this, here's the real news. Dun-dun-dun-dun. It's a 50% penalty if you don't take out enough. So you're penalized on the amount you should have taken but didn't. Quite expensive.
All right, so if I turned 70 and a half this year, I would figure out my RMD, and I would just pay it before next April. And would that take care of my RMDs for next year?
No, if you're waiting to that day before April 1st to do it of the following the year in which you turn 70 and a half, you still have to take another one for that year, because that was actually the only extension you get, because it's the first time. So each subsequent year, the RMD for that year has to be taken out by December 31st, and what value are you using? So if your RMD is due for 2017, you're basing that value on the last market day, last business day of 2016. So we'll call it, you use the value of the accounts on December 31st of 2016. I totally agree with you. Could they have made it any more complicated? I don't know. But they darn sure did make it complicated.
All right. So RMDs are due when?
By December 31st. Just forget the April 1, that technical part of the first year. Just forget that extension.
You don't want to do that anyway, right?
No.
You get kicked in the teeth on taxes.
Yeah, you're taking due. Then you have to take two distributions that year. And we'd rather go ahead and get your mindset correctly and take it out in starting at the year in which you turn 70 and a half, take that RMD, and then the next year you take the next one and use the proper divisor for it. And, you know, it's going to be an increasing amount, even if your count stays level and supports the distributions.
What all types of accounts have required minimum distributions?
401ks, if you're not working for the employer anymore. IRAs, 403B, any type of qualified money. SEP accounts have it. Inherited IRAs have it. Inherited Roths have RMDs.
Just inherited Roths, right?
Just inherited Roths.
All right.
Non-spouse beneficiaries in that case.
I just thought it was, you know, we don't want to forget that special time of year and thought we'd break that down.
It's such a happy time.
All right, numbers, guys. Let's do it.
The number.
Yeah, not too exciting on the number segment today. There was no history made. I'll just go ahead and cut to the chase here. No, it was down day. The horses are getting tired of running, though. You can't quite blame them. And it feels weird still being ecstatic when you look at the board. It's like, yeah, we had a down day, but my God, we're at 24,180.64.
I know. Things are so grim.
Yeah. If I'd been in a coma for a year, I would think I woke up in the year 2025. Because what was it about a year ago? About 18,000? And we're at 24,000 now? I know that does... That doesn't really quantify that easily in your head, but what is this run-up we're talking about? Like a 50% run-up almost? About a 30-40% run-up is what we're looking at? 30%, 33% run-up. Anyway,
Yeah, a year ago, $19,549 on December 7th of 2016.
Well, like a 28% run-up then. But the Dow Jones was down 0.5%, S&P was down 0.4%, NASDAQ was down 1.25%, still huge numbers behind it. Russell was down, and Wilshire also down. So, again, I'm not upset, and that no tears are being shed over here, and I'm not running out the market with my hair on fire, but hit them quick, Gregory.
10-year Treasuries down 2.36%. That gives us, where are we at on the 30-year mortgage? 30-year mortgage, there it is, 3.91%, and then we're up to gold, is at $1,267.80, and crude oil is still in the $57 range. Silver, $16.10.
Tomorrow, there's a basketball game. When you turn on him, you're like, oh, yeah, James told me there's going to be a basketball game. Go get the Winning It Life app and listen on the stream. Your home away from the show, winningitlife.com, and that Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Have a good one.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.